Welcome. We trust you will be encouraged by this message from Mahesh and Bonnie Chavda by Chavda Ministries International. Real love, real people, real power.
Hallelujah. Give it the Lord a big clap. Jesus' name. We were in Bethlehem some years ago with our brother Andrew White was with us, and we had a lunch in a giant tent. And
in the shepherd's field.
In the shepherd's field.
In Bethlehem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the mayor had lunch with us. And his assistant was a lady, wonderful, smart lady. And she looked at Bonnie and I and said, I know you. I watch you every week. And our program was being shown in Bethlehem. And that was nice to know that the word that we preach and was being shared even in Bethlehem. It did something that, wow, in Bethlehem, the city where the wise men came. Now, with picture of the postcards, and postcards are very authoritative, because the postcard told me that they came on camels. Do you have any other argument?
No.
They came on camels, I think. That was not a Subaru or anything like that. So, hallelujah. Praise God. The thing was, talk about Bethlehem. We will go to Luke. I can't find Luke. And, Luke chapter 2. And it says in verse 4, 5 and 6, Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. So this is often part of that, of course. It's very true. This is right there in the Bible. And it was part of the whole Christmas tradition. Jesus was born in the city of David, Bethlehem. And this is part of among the things that prove Jesus, not that we, for me, it was always about the Lord was faith. I mean, I just knew when the glory came, I knew that I knew instantly, Jesus is Lord. And I believe that when you have an experience with the Holy Spirit, I encourage people to get zapped in the Holy Ghost. There is something extra. For me, it was experiencing the glory of the Lord that fell, the presence of the Lord. And I pray for everyone who is listening, may the Lord fill you. May he give you a supernatural glory experience. May it be such that you know, my prayer is that you know that you know that you know that you know. No one can take that away from you or discourage you. That Jesus is the Son of God. That a virgin conceived. And that Jesus was a babe born in Bethlehem, in the city of David. And Mary was pregnant, brought forth her child in Bethlehem. Hallelujah. And it says in Micah, was the other, in Micah, Micah is not a scripture we refer to often, but Micah says, Micah 5, verse 2. But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting.
Yes.
It's awesome. And it's this was prophesied by Micah centuries before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, and then he's called out of Egypt to go back. And that too, that's in Hosea 11:1. So these are scriptures. These are in the Old Testament. So these are prophetic words, but they are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. This is what I'm calling the prophetic spinal column that supports the fact Jesus is exactly what he said he was. And at this time, as we celebrate the manger, we celebrate, I love Christmas lights, as we celebrate it, it celebrates the Advent, and we are rejoicing and celebrating the fact you have a Savior and you have eternal life because of that Savior. And that Savior, part of the details, he was prophesied a virgin would conceive. It was prophesied he would be born in Bethlehem. It was prophesied he would have to be, he would be called from Bethlehem, that would make a trip down to Egypt and then come on back. Hallelujah.
It was prophesied that he would sit on the throne of David, in the lineage of David. It was prophesied that he would suffer. It was prophesied that he would not stay dead. His resurrection was prophesied.
Yeah. And
I think there are over 300 of specific prophecies in the Old Testament. And one of the things that we learned early when we were young disciples of Derek is he would go through the Psalms and point out to us the places where it was actually the Spirit of Christ speaking in advance. For instance, Psalm 22 that speaks of the crucifixion, where it's Jesus actually speaking in the prophetic scripture through the writer, through the prophet, and in that case, through David. In addition to the Holy Spirit prophesying about Jesus and the events of Jesus.
And the other thing, they mentioned it as part of the important pillars about Jesus in the Old Testament. One of the things was, we see that in his ministry, it says in Matthew 13, verse 34, all these things spoke Jesus unto the multitude in parables. And without a parable spoke he not unto them. So most everything he said to the crowd, he would speak in parables. But even that was prophesied that he would. I would have gotten a little frustrated. Hello, can you say something that it's more clear? No, I don't want to get slapped, by the way, when I go up there. But I would say, but I guess he loved to, and he was anointed to speak in parables.
I was going to ask you, why do you think he spoke in parables?
Because he was anointed to do that, and the Lord was pleased that he fulfilled the prophetic word. The other thing that I love, and that's in Matthew 11, is that it says, in 11, at the end of the chapter, it says, now when John had healed in the prison, the works of Christ heard, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, are you the one that should come, or do we look for another? And it's somewhat strange. I think they really discouraged him or something. And we all go through this. Like Elijah went through a time where we could say he got isolated and got a little depressed. And John, this is John himself asking, are you the one we are looking for? And Or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show, or go back and report to John again those things which you do hear and see. And these are the things you're going to see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Go back and report. These are the signs. And it was prophesied way back in the Old Testament that when the Messiah would come, he would heal the sick. And that's what happens. So that is one of the other prophetic things that proves this is the Lord. At this time where we celebrate Advent, we know. He fulfilled the prophetic words about the Messiah, who was going to come, whose name was Emmanuel, God with us.
And for me, that event reveals in a different way the heart of Jesus and his affection, because this was his cousin that he had grown up with and who had boldly, in the face of the whole religious hierarchy and, in fact, in the face of the political system, had been prophesying about the advent of the Lord in obedience to what the Holy Spirit was saying to him. And in fact, there's an indication that John really had become like the popular evangelist of the time. The crowds were following him because they were being oppressed by the Romans, and they were looking for the fulfillment of all of these prophecies in their scripture about a time when the king was going to come. And now here comes this man, this prophet, that is picking up where Isaiah left off and saying, this is the hour. Prepare the way for the Lord. Make his paths straight. Every mountain will be brought down. Every valley will be raised up. And there was this great sort of revival happening in the baptisms and all of that when Jesus came to the Jordan, and John said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. But now John is in prison. This is Jesus' cousin. And John is giving his life for this message, not even so much because Jesus is his family member, but because he is the Messiah. He is the promised one. And so this is like a word of affection and encouragement coming from his cousin, coming back to him and saying, look, you didn't miss it. You're right on. You didn't miss it. And I have to think about John holding on to that reality, because he will, within days of this event, he will end up giving his life. Correct. For the message. In that famous banquet scene when his head is asked for. But to me, that story is deeper than the prophetic fulfillment. It's a person-to-person encouragement about standing, staying strong, believing in the Lord as he has revealed himself. And I was thinking of what it says in Romans 16, in actually the benediction, in the blessing. It says, now unto him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest. Say, now made manifest.
Now made manifest.
And by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations according to the commandment of the everlasting God, for obedience to the faith, to God alone wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. And it kind of wraps the whole thing up of what we're talking about. That it's according to the fulfillment of the prophetic scriptures, but it's now being made manifest, and it comes to us to strengthen and establish us in the living God.
And going on further in the prophetic, 10 prophetic foundations, I would call. One of the prophetic words was that the Messiah would be abused, would be flogged. And in fact, later on, by his stripes, we are healed.
And it's so, prophesied that he would be sold for 30 pieces of silver or whatever it was.
Yeah, 30 pieces. Isaiah 50, verses 5 and 6 says, the Lord God, now this is Isaiah, this is the Old Testament, and it says, the Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. Verse 6, I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. So they smote his back, whipped it, very bloody. They pulled out the hair from his cheeks and plucked off the hair, it says. And I hid not my face from shame and spitting. And so this is, again, one of the other prophetic words. This is what's happening. And you say, how horrible, and why did he have to go through that? He just healed and raised the dead and cleansed the lepers. And yet this was for our sakes. Once you realize that by his stripes we are healed, that he had to go through that, that the Lord arranged this to happen. And so it was prophesied hundreds of years ago that the Messiah would be flogged, would have to go through this. And the other thing you find in Psalm 22, the, another aspect of this pillar of prophecy is in Psalm 22, verse 16. It says, for dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. So that was one of the prophetic, other prophetic words that had been given centuries before, that the Messiah, that his hands and his feet are pierced. And that's what happens at the crucifixion. They hang him and then nail his feet and his hands to the cross. And this was prophesied that this would happen. And again in Matthew 27, verse 35, it says, and they gambled and divided up his garments. And that's in Matthew 27. And again, repeated in Psalm 22, verse 18. It says, they divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. So these are amazing prophetic words that confirm. And then, of course, in Isaiah, as we get this, I'll give you one of the massive keys that as you get it, I want to ask people, do you get this? And unless it's revelation, Isaiah 53, verse 8 and 9, we look at that and say, he was taken from prison and from judgment. Who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people, he was stricken, and they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. So he is killed, and he is buried. This was also prophesied. And then, awesome, in Hosea, it says, Hosea 6, verses 1 and 2, come, and let us return to the Lord. For he has torn, but he will heal us. He has stricken, but he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up, that we may live in his sight. Yes. So Hosea, hundreds of years before, it was prophesied that on the third day, he would rise. He would be resurrected from the dead. And there's only one person in history who has done this.
One of the things that is so wonderful about God and powerful that you see in all of these prophetic words is that the very next breath, the Lord leaves a blessing or declares the end of that one. For instance, the last one, it says that he will see his suffering, and he will receive it as a sacrifice and as an offering for sin. And then this one, it says, so let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord, for his going forth is established as the morning, and he will come to us like the rain, like the latter and former rain to the earth. So all of these prophecies about Jesus have a second breath where God announces the result of this reality, this truth, as it will be made manifest in Christ.
Awesome, awesome. The whole column, 15. For me, I mean, there was so many, but right now I decided we would emphasize the among the premier pillar of prophecy. I'm going to 1 Corinthians 15, and here also it is mentioned about his resurrection. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, yes, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brothers at once, of whom the greater part remains to the present. Anyway, some are still alive that said, who can tell you, this is we saw the man who had been killed, was died on the cross, was raised on the third day. So that's in also in Hosea 6, verses 1 and 2. And it's mentioned in the Bible in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. So this, I've come briefly, we could each of this, you can write books on each of these awesome prophetic words about Jesus. But at this time, as we celebrate and honor the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, we also prophetically, there is a promise that he who rose on the third day, that one day he's coming back for his church, and he is with signs and wonders. There will be an awesome event of the second coming of the Lord Jesus. So we have covered 10 primary things. There are others in the Bible, but these are some of the basic ones that were impressed upon the people who were living in his day. Wow, this is the Messiah. This is the one who was promised. And for me, he died there on the cross, they knew what would happen, what had happened before on people who were crucified. And Jesus, the exceptional thing about Jesus is, and we got to be there at that place where he was buried in Jerusalem, at the garden tomb.
Yeah.
And you can see what people thought was Golgotha right from the garden tomb. And it's a wonderful time where I hope sometime we can go again, because that service and that communion service is so wonderful. And there are different groups from all over the world. Some from Taiwan, some from Hong Kong, some from Latin America. It's all kinds of groups, and it's so wonderful to know there are believers all over the world who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and their lives have been completely transformed. And I am grateful for the Messiah that we can teach about Emmanuel, God. And that's one of the first prophetic words. His name shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Say God with us.
God with us.
Emmanuel.
Emmanuel.
And he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. In the Spirit, as we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, you will always know the companionship of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he has promised above all. It's not whether I feel it or not, whether there are times where you will, but the wonderful presence of the Lord always. And when it's time, there was a time I was in the hospital years ago, more than 20 years ago, that they told me I had an attack. And there was a blockage. And I said, well, if you don't go in, what will happen? He said, you will die in less than 48 hours.
I feel that.
I said, okay. And it was quite something. I had the primary surgeon and four other surgeons consulting with me and talking with me in that hospital room. And then the chief surgeon goes away, and the four other surgeons are there discussing. And I said, oh, Lord, now they're going to tell me the bad news. Already gone. And they smiled at me and said, Pastor Mahesh, all four of us are believers, and we have your books. Can you sign them? And so I had an IV going. Oh, said, sign our book. Okay. That was funny. But I thought I might die. And I was so looking forward to meeting the Lord. I was somewhat disappointed when I recovered. It was really weird. But I got delivered.
I was just looking again at my mother's memorial, my mother's funeral, when she went home to be with the Lord. I preached her funeral in my little hometown in New Mexico from 1 Corinthians 15. And I was looking again in the Message Bible. I was looking again, he says, friends, let me go over the message with you one final time. This message that I proclaimed and that you made your own. This message on which you took your stand and by which your life has been saved. And he says, I'm assuming now that your belief was the real thing and not a passing fancy, and that you're in this for good and holding fast. It's awesome. So he goes on and he talks in depth about the resurrection. And he says, there's a nice symmetry in this. Death initially came by a man, and resurrection from death came by a man. Everybody dies in Adam. Everybody comes alive in Christ. But we have to wait our turn. And then he speaks of Christ being the firstborn and from the dead. And when the scripture speaks of being begotten of God, there are two begettings. One is in the womb of the virgin, and the second one is being raised out of the grave. But I love the way that it says here. It says, at his coming, the grand consummation, when after crushing the opposition, he hands over his kingdom to God the Father. He won't let up until the last enemy is down. And the very last enemy is death. Then he quotes the Psalms. And he says, when scripture says that he walked all over them, it's obvious that he couldn't at the same time be walked on. When everything and everyone is finally under God's rule, the Son will step down, taking his place with everyone else, showing that God's rule is absolutely comprehensive, a perfect ending. One of us sits on the throne of the cosmos right now.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And for me, these are the basic answers. And as we journey with him, I trust the Lord completely. There are questions that you may have. It's okay. But there is a scripture that I love at the conclusion of this revelations of the scriptures that confirm this is the Lord. This is the Messiah. He is the one, the promised one, who is going to take your sins and mine, who takes Galatians 3:13, where he even takes the curses, and by his stripes we are healed. And he breaks the curses, and so we may have the blessing of Abraham. That's Deuteronomy 28 for me. But there may other questions may come up. There is a scripture that I love that Brother Derek pointed out early, very early in my in our life ministry. It's in Deuteronomy 29:29, which says, "The secret things belong to the Lord, but the things revealed belong to us and our children forever." And so there are times where you are helping others and there is a question arises, why did this happen? Why did this happen? And it's valid for us to have that. But for me, the ultimate answer is, I've trusted in the Messiah. I've trusted this baby grew up to be Alpha and Omega, Jesus Christ. And his name is above every name. I'm going to trust
him. Yes, the revealed all things.
The revealed things belong to
Thank
you.
Jesus.
And you, all of us. And we trusted the revealed things. The secret things belong to the Lord. Now, there are times where he will reveal that to you and say, and then you will say, ah. Oh. But most of your eyes will come, I believe, when you see the Lord face to face, all your eyes will be answered. But some, he just relies on you to trust him.
And wait for his visitation. His visitation.
But I'm more than satisfied. These are awesome. Yeah. That he would go through
Thank
all
you,
that he did and take the stripes and the extreme. Like the rendition that Mel Gibson had in his movie about Jesus. What was it called?
The Passion.
The Passion, yeah. And it was very distinctive, made quite an impression in many countries. And I really, really loved that movie. But it just shows, especially focused on the flogging, the whole
Thank you,
Lord. Suffering of the Messiah. It's, and of course, the Word shows he went through that, and by his stripes we are healed.
Amen.
So you know that you know that you know. And I would encourage you to get close to those facts. Because when you, if you find yourself where you have to pray for someone, when you know that you know that you know, Jesus took that. And devil, you have no right to put that on this person. And by his stripes, we pray,
you
be healed. And you'll find that fresh authority because you know that you know Jesus is real. He took that and you have every right to pray in his name.
Thank you.
So in view of all of this, we're going to receive a fresh anointing to pray for the sick, to pray for other people for deliverance and for yourself. Know that you know that you know that he is Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
That at his name, every knee bows. And this, some of you saw my good friend Jim Croft and I standing together 2 weeks ago. A week ago, last Friday. And we were used in the deliverance ministry. We would go all over. We had even went to Massachusetts. But most of the time we would go to New Mexico, Colorado, Texas, Mississippi, some of those states. And a lot of deliverance took place. But one of the keys that really I could sense from him and from me was we knew Jesus raised from the dead. He has authority.
Thank you.
We can come. We were authorized and welcomed in these places, and we would share. And I used to go then to the nations. But the authority was from Jesus. He is alive, and we are commissioned. May the blessing of the Lord for each of you come as you're watching us on Facebook or you are here in person. We are going to receive the anointing, knowing that we know that we know that we know. He's born of a virgin. He fulfilled all the scriptures, prophetic scriptures. He was buried. He's resurrected on the third day. He's alive forevermore. And he is my Lord and your Lord. Amen. Let's stand.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. If you want to put your hand on your heart or you want to raise your hands, just receive. Father, it's been such a joy to talk about our Lord, our Savior. Follow up with, if you don't mind saying, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You were born.
You were born.
Of a virgin.
Of a virgin.
In Bethlehem.
In Bethlehem.
That you suffered.
You suffered.
You died.
You died.
On the third day.
On the third day.
You were resurrected.
You were resurrected.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
That as you healed.
That as you healed.
You are resurrected.
You are resurrected.
And you heal today.
And you heal today.
You are the same.
You are the same.
Yesterday.
Yesterday.
Today.
Today.
And forever.
And forever.
You are alive. And you have promised.
You have promised.
You will never leave me.
You will never leave me.
Or forsake me.
Or forsake me.
That you would empower us.
And you will empower us.
With the Holy Spirit.
With your Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For the infilling.
For the infilling.
Of the Holy Spirit.
Of the Holy Spirit.
By faith.
By faith.
I receive.
I receive.
Anointing.
Anointing.
And blessing.
And blessing.
That I may.
That I may.
Be used by the Lord.
Be used by the Lord.
To help others.
To help others.
To bring them.
To bring them.
To Jesus.
To Jesus.
To bring them.
To bring them.
For healing.
For healing.
And deliverance.
And deliverance.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Fill us.
Fill us.
Baptize us.
Baptize us.
Afresh.
Afresh.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For signs and wonders.
For signs, wonders.
That confirm.
That confirm.
Jesus has come.
Jesus has come.
He is Lord.
He is Lord.
He is captain of armies.
He is captain of armies.
He is a healer.
He's a healer.
Today.
Today.
He is my Savior.
My Savior.
My Lord.
My Lord.
My King.
My King.
I honor you, Lord.
I honor you, Lord.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Give him a big clap. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
We hope you enjoyed this message. To order more great resources by Mahesh and Bonnie Chavda, visit us at chavdaministries.org. For a full catalog of our products, you can call us at 1-800-730-6264. God bless you.